You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Parenting and parents
on 702.
All right. What are the realities of being a stay-at-home parent? Stay-at-home moms are obviously more common than stay-at-home dads. But what are those realities that people may not be aware of? I sometimes say things like, I wish, you know, I could just be a stay-at-home mom. I think I said it last week because I was absolutely exhausted. But when I think about it, I genuinely feel like it is a lot more work than going into a job, because being a stay-at-home mom, now you're on call 24/7. Nozipho, how are you doing?
Hello, Nomosile. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man. I'm just thinking about all those moms and I'm like, there's certain days that I have been with my child at home and I was extremely overwhelmed.
Yeah. Firstly, I just want to take my hat off to stay-at-home moms who do what they do every day. And I think there's this misconception that they have it easier. They don't have to deal with the everyday things of being at work. But that job, oh my goodness, it is just, you know, you're faced with your mirrors every single day who are just pushing and pushing those buttons, calling you to step up. And, you know, you establish this routine and you think in your mind, oh my goodness, I've got this. And then come the breakfast, the very first thing you serve it, you put it on the table and your little toddler just throws it off the table. And then you know what that day is going to be like, especially if you're not going to have support. The struggle is just so much more. And even with the support, I guess, you know, and when your partner or dad gets home, you just want to take the child and like, there you go. And he'll look at you and be like, but you were at home the whole day. Mm. Why are you so tired? And you are like, I can't. It is, you know, raising children is no easy task. And if you're going to be faced with it 24/7, it calls and it takes on a lot from you. I mean, parents and families choose this way of doing things from, you know, based on different circumstances. Some are privileged enough to be able to do that. Some are forced into the circumstances. So looking at, you know, the reasons why you are doing it that way actually has a lot to do with also how you show up in your parenting journey as a stay-at-home parent. And, you know, checking in with yourself is so important because, you know, you're tuning in as much as possible throughout the day and making sure that you're taking care of yourself so that you're not taking your stress out on your little child. Because at the end of the day, our children pick up on our, you know, our well-being, our energy and what we bring in. And we will see it in their behavior, regardless of their age.
So I want to then ask you a question. Who do you qualify as a stay-at-home mom if you have a nanny that is with you or a helper? And the reason I ask this question is because, you know, in South Africa, having a domestic worker or a helper or a nanny is very common. The middle class can afford that. But when you go to other countries, in Australia and many other countries, it's not common to have help at home. So do you think, you know, that if a person would qualify as stay-at-home mom, if they have people around them helping them do half, most part of the job?
Oh, yes. That's a very, it's a pertinent differentiator between ourselves and people who are elsewhere in the world where they don't have as much help as we do. And at the end of the day, you are still the one who is holding the house together and you are the one taking on the lead. Yes, your nanny is there to support and help you, but it's not their primary responsibility to take on everything without you. And the pressure is still there on you as the caregiver or the primary caregiver of the children to set the pace, the discipline, you can't hand that over and overburden the nanny to do that. They're taking their cue from you, you know. And when you're there all the time, you're faced with what is going, you know, how they're handling it. And sometimes that can also add sometimes a different dynamic, a lot of pressure on you as the, you know, as the parent, because you are not only now looking after, you know, the child is there and also making sure that the nanny is doing what they're supposed to be doing when it comes to helping you raise your child. And one of the things that I just wanted to also touch on is your question was, do you qualify? And the answer is yes, absolutely, you qualify, even if you do have somebody helping you, because I mean, or everybody's experience is so different, and it doesn't take away the pressures you are feeling because, you know, of a direct comparison of somebody who has the help. It's all relative, and your reality is your reality, right?
Yes, literally. And I mean, speaking as someone who does have help, yes, I'm a working mom, but I do have days when I'm not a working mom and I'm just with my son. And exactly like what I was saying to you, that I'm so exceptionally overwhelmed. What do you think about the scenarios where a couple, and you touched on it, where let's say mom is the stay-at-home mom, she has minimal help, you know, is the one that is making sure the house is cleaned, taken care of, and the kids are not even at school going age yet, so they are still at home. Dad comes home exhausted from his job. Mom looks at dad thinking, finally, you're here to relieve me. Dad looks at mom thinking, finally, I can rest. And then it's that awkward silence about who actually is more tired than the other.
Oh, that is so true. And it boils down to then the communication between the two of you as a couple and what your expectations are, because it's so easy for resentment also to build, to be like, I've just told you about my boss who's giving me a hard time, and you can tell me is that Johnny wouldn't eat the peas. So, yes. And then like, just that ability to offer one another empathy. And as people who are both, you know, they're committed, yes, in different ways in raising your children. And I think what's important is also to be able to establish upfront those rituals in your home and rhythms that work for you, so that you have something practical to say that I need. Because sometimes also like moms want to take on so much on their own, and then by the time you're asking for some support when, you know, your partner does get home, you're really lashing out because you've bottled it all in. You haven't had the, you know, the opportunity to say, or the environment hasn't been conducive for you to say, you know what, this is not working for me, or please may you support me. So really like you've already lost it by the time you're handing over the child, as opposed to speaking about it honestly and being there for one another to support. And no job is lesser than the other, and viewing yourselves as both in a partnership who are contributing differently to your household.
There's a WhatsApp that's come through from Sibs, and it says, hi, a lot of parents work remotely and are now stay-at-home parents and have full-time jobs. How do you help those millions of parents who took little ones out of creches and nursery schools permanently since COVID began? What suggestions do you have, Nosy?
Boundaries in a way that they set, in a way that they peacefully stick. And I mean, children are very, to say this is mommy's time for work now, I know it sounds ridiculous that you're able to say that to a child, but and also being understanding that they're going to want to come to you. They're going to want to. And how can you structure your day in such a way that you make time for connection? It might be that you sit together on the carpets and do something for 5 minutes together, and then you can step away for an hour or two because your emotional backpack of your child is already filled, because they're not going to constantly be coming to you all the time. And it's about checking in those little moments in the day, as opposed to like going in and like closing yourself out. And of course, when you come out, your child's emotional backpack is like already running on empty. It's about how do you ensure that you keep it full throughout the day in those small little moments, and create those moments in the day where you're able to do something that brings you closer together. And when a child is feeling connected to you, there's going to be very, and they also learn the skill of being able to play independently, do some of the things without you, and being sitting there in your office. It's just a matter of trial and error, and you doing this with your child to expect, you know, rather than expecting them to do it, but doing it with them, and sooner or later they'll learn, and you'll start to see them do it on their own. So a lot of hand holding, but it's so worth it so that you can relieve yourself as well at home, that you don't have to take on everything yourself and trying to manage your work and your child and then being reactive. So the question you should ask yourself is, how can I be proactive? What can I do to practically, like, is it about also making sure that the meals for the day, I've already done them in the morning before the start of my day, so I don't have to take the time to be doing meals when the child is hungry, I'm still in a meeting. It's really being pre-prepared and upfront, and preparation goes a long way when you're having to look after children and working. I know it's up in there.
011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. We're with Nozi Paul, who is chatting to us about the realities of being a stay-at-home parent. And I'm looking to hear from all of you, stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads. What is it like, really? And what are the things that people underestimate about you being a stay-at-home parent? Do you find it difficult to have conversations with other adults who are now talking about work? And maybe your work, your day job, is dealing with diapers and somebody who wants milk and can't tell you or articulate what it is that they want. Do you find that it is difficult to find time for yourself? Do you find that the work that you do in the home is completely undervalued? 011-883-0702-072-702-1702.
Parenting and parents
on 702.
22 minutes after 2 o'clock, we're chatting to Nozi Paul Mbata, parenting coach and founder of Nurture with Nozi. In our Parenting and Parents feature today, and we're talking about the realities of being a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home parent. So give us a call on 011-883-0702 and share with us your experiences, 072-702-1702. So Nozi Paul, you know, obviously we've touched on a couple of issues like boundaries and things like that. How is it that you think responsibilities should be shared between parents where the one is working full time, the other is a stay-at-home a parent? And I know you said obviously they need to come to some kind of agreement, but sometimes it ends up being unfair. And maybe you can just provide a little bit of a guideline, because I'm feeling for the stay-at-home parent who, now the partner comes home and they're like, I'm hungry, I've had a hard day, I need to chill and relax. And the stay-at-home parent is like, can you just relieve me from the crying? And can I just have a moment? I haven't even bathed today, let alone eaten breakfast.
It is a reality, in the sense that, like, stay-at-home moms, mostly, you know, the ones that I get to work with, is just they feel so unsupported sometimes that their partner doesn't understand what it truly is like. And sharing that responsibility is so, so key, in that everybody in the household is contributing. And I don't mean this like financially, but in raising the children as well. And it's not, yes, it's a generational thing that is inherited, that the woman takes on more the responsibility, but also it's just as important for the children to build that relationship, and it, you know, with the parent who's not a stay at home. So it not only does it relieve the stay at home parent, but it also goes a long way for that strong relationship to be established with the other parents who is needing to make their also adjustments in how they contribute to the household. I mean, historically, we all know that it was always like the woman who must do it. But now, as things change, and even if you are stay at home, you deserve that that support. It's really an exhausting job to be able to carry it on your own.
Do you think that stay-at-home parents should be, and the only word I can think of is compensation, should they be compensated from the household budget for being a stay-at-home parent? Let's assume there's no hat nanny, there's no domestic worker, so that money's not being spent on those things, but the one parent is fully responsible. Do you think they should be compensated?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Definitely, because they are doing such an important job in that house, and it depends what compensation works for them. But definitely, it's not a free, you know, a thing that is like it's expected of you. Therefore, you must go and you must do it. It is about, yes, the money that comes into the house. As far as I'm concerned, belongs to everybody that lives in the house, including the stay-at-home parents who's raising the children.
Oh, I'm sensing some people who might completely disagree with you, but I'm definitely with you on that one. But we know and understand the background as to how we got to the point of where we are. Let's take a listen to some of your WhatsApp voice notes.
Vuyo from Soweto. I've been a stay-at-home, work-at-home mom ever since 2016. I have three children, 9 years old, 8 years old, and 2 years old. It is very, very challenging, but I think it's really an honor to be able to get to know my kids and to be there for them when they come back from school, after school. I feel that is a privilege, even though freelancing does have its challenges. I feel that being here for my kids is just, you know, really, really worth it. But of course, yes, there are a lot of challenges, and I also do feel that sometimes people underestimate it, because at the end of the day, I am incredibly exhausted from just fulfilling all of these roles.
Thank you so much for sharing so truthfully about your experience. Here's another voice note.
Hi, my name is Emmy, in just north of Joburg. I am a stay-at-home mom of four kids. It's something I love to do. I've been a stay-at-home mom for 13 years. I think I've also had a full-time job before that. And by far, I think the bigger challenge for me is being a mom. I've got a 15-year-old, a 15-year-old girl, 10-year-old boy, 4-year-old girl, and a 2-year, almost to be 2-year-old. And I teach my kids at home as well. So I have help at home with that. And I think stay-at-home moms are not as appreciated as much in general. Mothering, I think, to me, doing it full-time is something that I can't imagine doing anything else. But to me, it's both the hardest and one of the most and the most rewarding job in the world. And I'm just thankful. You really need a supportive spouse. So I think stay-at-home moms get credit, but stay-at-home dads really need a lot of credit as well. And I'm thankful for my husband.
Oh, thank you so much for that voice note. We'd love to hear from a stay-at-home dad. There aren't very many, but they are there. Share with us your experiences. It is not just the moms.
When I went back to work after my maternity leave, my then husband stayed home and looked after our baby. And while I can empathize with people who stay at home and need some relief from the child's needs when the other partner gets home, when I got home from work, I would be handed a baby, and it was quite exhausting for me to then be a working mom, be a full-time mom at home when I was at home, and a lot of the housework was also left to me still. So, yeah, it's tricky. I think if I were to do it again, I would negotiate those things up front with my partner. So that everybody's clear and everybody feels like they know what their role is, where their support comes from, and all of that. Thanks for a great chat.
Thank you. And I think Nozi, the key word that she said is it must be negotiated and discussed, because the assumption might be, well, a child needs its mother, so as soon as you get home, I'm giving you the baby, whereas this person might still have other work to do and complete. So what are your final thoughts on the realities of being a stay-at-home parent?
The big word for me out of this is about preventative maintenance, where you are negotiating up front, you are clear on what kind of environment you're wanting to create in your home. you talk about it without fear of insulting or that, you know, fear of the partner getting upset with you because you've asked them to step in. And there is a way around it so that everybody's needs are met, and approaching your family environment in such a way that everybody's voices matter and are honored, whether you're the mom, the dad, or the child.
Nozipho Mbatha, thank you so, so much for chatting to us on today's Parenting and Parents feature, discussing the realities of being a stay-at-home parent.